Today on Real Radio.
The Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a struggle. If you are really going to be a Christian, it is going to cost you in this life. Hell will be against you. And those who are in relation to hell, the lost world around us, are going to be against us. Jesus says, listen, don't lose it and panic when the world begins to hate you, because they hated me first, he said.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a mini-series called Complete Christian Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20, where the author uses military analogies in describing how every believer is to, quote, put on the full armor of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Slaying the Dragon and Other Scary Things.
Paul says in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we'll end right there for this evening. The title of the message tonight is Slaying the Dragon and Other Scary Things. Because this is how we're going to learn to do it, as he gives us the instructions as we look at these implements of warfare to the Christian in regards to our battle as Christians in this life. And listen, we will have a battle. The battle will not end until we die or until we get raptured and we're in heaven. The Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a struggle. If you are really going to be a Christian, it is going to cost you in this life. Hell will be against you. And those who are in relation to hell, the lost world around us, are going to be against us. Jesus says, listen, don't lose it and panic when the world begins to hate you, because they hated me first, he said. And he warned us that there'd be times when the world would pick up stones or seek to kill us and remove us from the earth by death and persecution. And if you don't understand that this is the truth of the gospel and that the warning has come to us in advance, if you don't understand that, you could lose hope. You could even cave in on your faith. Because you might have been sold a bill of goods that if you come to Christ, it's just going to be very smooth sailing all the rest of your life. Well, I hope you didn't hear that, because it's not true. Everybody in life has difficulties, but the Christian might have more difficulty than anybody. The wonderful thing is the Christian has the Holy Spirit to pick us up and, as it were, bear us aloft on top of the problems. Yes, death visits the Christian home. Yes, it's difficult. And yes, there are trials and tribulations. In fact, the Bible says that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution or tribulation. But the Bible tells us that we have an agenda that has been given to us by God, that we can live a life that is victorious. Just think, for those who are not going to go to heaven, this is the best that it gets. This is all they get. To those who are Christ rejecting and not wanting to bow their heart and their lives to Jesus, this is the best it gets for them. I find that highly depressing. You look around this world, I mean, is there anything that really turns you on? Well, I've got a new boyfriend, and he's just the best. Oh, we'll talk to you next week. Oh, I just got, you know, we just moved into a brand new home. Yeah, we'll talk to you on the 30th when your payment comes. This life doesn't have what the Christian needs to be satisfied. God has got to make deposits in our hearts from heaven through His Word. That's the way we find our satisfaction. We're going there. But until we go there, there will be battles, and there'll be a dragon to contend with. There'll be other things that the world, that the enemy, that the flesh will bring up before us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, the Scripture says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." We are fighting a fight as Christians. And the glorious thing is we're going to be going home. If you're taking notes tonight, jot down this outline in advance if you would. We'll look at it carefully. The first one is found in verse 16, and that is the shield of faith. And that shield of faith, it is what's used to quench the attacks of the enemy. We're going to see three distinct things concerning the shield of faith. We're going to see in verse 16 that the shield of faith defeats the enemy. We're going to see that the shield of faith provides us a covering. And we'll see that the shield of faith allows us to advance. The second thing we'll see is in verse 16 as well, and that is the helmet of salvation. It keeps us secure in this life. The helmet of salvation has been intended and given with the intent to keep us secure in this life. The helmet of salvation resists the enemy doubt that he would sow into our hearts and minds. The helmet of salvation guards our thoughts. And the helmet of salvation protects our confidence in Christ. And then finally tonight, we'll see in verse 17 that the sword of the Spirit is that what leads us into battle. The sword leads us into battle. The sword of the Spirit, and we need to be understanding its purpose. Concerning the sword of the Spirit, we need to be realizing its power. And the sword of the Spirit, we need to be using its strength. So very important. I want you to mark this down. You might want to highlight it in your Bible. It's kind of neat. In verse 13, it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God." And then he goes on to list them. That's what we've been studying. But look what it says, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day," and look, "having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness," verse 15, "and having shod your feet." Four times the word "having" is mentioned there. Now we come to a break in the study. In verses 16 and 17, we have three announcements of taking. In the earlier verses, we are having. That is, it's been supplied to us. And now he's encouraging us to, with violence, take the things of warfare, which will finalize us and prepare us for battle. I find that interesting, taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet, taking the sword. And so we need to be taking an aggressive approach as soldiers. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 12, very interesting verse, often a very misunderstood verse, because people don't, I think, quite honestly, would view their Christianity this way, which is tragic. In Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force." That's a radical verse. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God, from John the Baptist until this very moment, suffers violence. It is a very, very dynamic kingdom, and it is under attack, but yet it also is on the offensive. It's attacking. The kingdom of God, the fact that Christ lives in your heart, being a Christian. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us there, that the violent take it by force. Have you ever considered yourself as a Christian violent? The word in the Greek here means to be militant about your Christianity. It doesn't mean to be an idiot about your Christianity. It doesn't mean to walk up to somebody and slap them in the face with your Bible and say, "Repent, you know, and come out, thou foul spirit of whatever." You know, you don't do that. Somebody's talking about. He's talking about seriously under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, with the knowledge of the Word of God in your heart, you begin to move day by day in your Christianity to take ground for Christ. Every moment of your life, you're looking around to see, maybe there's one more person he would have me to witness to. Maybe there's one more thing that God would have me do. And there is, you know. There's always something that he has in store for us. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force, Jesus says. And we're going to be looking at this violence concerning the kingdom. That we are to be very, very violent, so to speak, in the spirit. We are to be realizing that we are fighting a demonic power and a demonic force. It's invisible. One of his great tactics is to get you to believe that he's not attacking you. One of his great tactics is to get you to not believe in his powers. One of his great tactics is to get you to say, oh, well, that's, you know, I'm sure that's something true for other people. If you are of that mind and you're a Christian, the enemy's got you duped already. We are in a battle. And we're going to be talking about how to confront that battle tonight by taking. Look with me in verse 16 concerning the shield of faith that quenches the enemy. He says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The thing we want to see right here in verse 16 is this acknowledgement, or I should say exhortation, of when he mentions here, above all. He lists the implements of war that the soldier is to be wearing, and then he says, above all. And now he moves to the offensive weaponry. Now, hear this carefully. Paul has been chained to a soldier. He's been watching this guy. He's been looking at him. I bet they've been discussing the armor and the things that he's wearing. This great Roman soldier, which was the most feared soldier of the world at that time. And Paul would have been looking at his gear and saying, you know, this is exactly what a Christian needs to be wearing in the spiritual sense. This stuff right here. And remember, that guard was chained to Paul in shifts for quite a long time. And no doubt, Paul witnessed. Can you imagine being that Roman guard? Paul witnessed that guy every day. I bet you that guy sat there at this dinner breakfast table, you know, with his wife. What are you doing today? Well, I'm guarding Paul again today. The guy just won't shut up about Jesus. I'm chained to this guy. You see, Paul wasn't chained to him. The guard was chained to Paul. And he'd go in there with all that implement of war, and he'd sit down and get chained up to Paul, and I'm sure Paul would say, well, I'm glad you're here. And he'd begin to share with them. We know for a fact that many, many Christians existed in Caesar's own household by virtue of the guards and all that had come to Christ. But the shield of faith, this shield that Paul is referring to, and by the way, the Roman soldier had two types of shields. He had the huge, huge shield that was about 4.5 feet high and about 2.5 to 3 feet wide. And then he had a little shield on his forearm. It was strapped on. The shield that Paul is talking about right now is the big imperial shield. It even had the markings of Rome on the front embossed in it. It was made out of wood, and it was laminated with animal skins that were soaked in a resin. So it had very thick leather on it. And that leather was coating a plywood, so to speak, of a material that had been brought together. And it had these handle grips on the inside. And on the sides of the shield itself, it had hooks. And these hooks could be used to hook on to another guard next to you or another soldier if you were in battle. They would hook onto one another, and then they would get down. And as that shield settled into the ground, they would take shelter behind the shield. And this was an incredibly formidable fortress to be having. Those Roman soldiers looked like tanks in those days. They were tremendous tools of war, these great shields. And it was the soldier's most prized possession, listen, for protection. It was it. He could have theoretically be naked, but be behind that great shield, and he could be safe. It was such a great covering. And so Paul uses the very word that Roman soldier would have had. Paul says concerning the Christian, take the shield of faith. Why? We're going to see in a moment. As this soldier used this great tool, he would be one that would be invincible in war. And as I mentioned earlier, as they linked up together, they could form a rank that was just impregnable to the attacker. The book of Daniel, by the way, talks about the power of the Roman Empire that would come. It said that it would break in pieces all of their kingdoms before it. And this is part of the ability that it had with its great shield. This great shield of faith, Paul now says concerning the Christian, that our faith is to be like a bulwark, like a great wall. Think about our faith. Think about your faith. And I want to jar your heart tonight, I hope, and mine as well. The shield represents faith. The soldier hides behind the shield. The soldier advances with the shield. And it is a shield of faith. Is your faith, is my faith strong enough to hide behind? I don't mean as a coward, but is it strong enough in the day and age in which you and I live to pick up that shield of faith and know what you believe, to be able to defend what you believe? When someone knocks at your door, are you able to give an answer to them? When someone says, why are you a Christian? I beg of you, I hope that this is the case, I plead with you, I always want you to be asking questions, why? When someone does knock on your door, ask them why do they believe what they believe. You should always be asking the question why. Use your brain, use your mind. And as Christians, if someone stands on our door and says back to us, why are you a Christian? Will you be able to answer? Can you answer them? If you cannot answer them, then your shield is extremely weak and you will eventually be shot with a fiery dart very, very soon. You cannot hide behind someone else's faith. You can't hide behind your mom's faith or your father's faith or your neighbor's faith or your friend's great faith. You can't hide behind, well, I go to Calvary Chapel. That is absolutely worthless. You can't say, well, my pastor's got faith or my friend's got, you can't, it doesn't work that way. This is so critical. My heart breaks over this thing. Do we have faith? And I'm being sorely convinced as time goes on in the church, people are losing the definition of what faith is. Have you heard people say, you know what? If I just have enough faith, I'm going to get, I know it's going to work. You know, that's heretical. You're trusting in faith. Nowhere does the Bible say to trust in faith. If I just have enough faith. There's a lot of junk on TV that says if you just have faith, you'll be healed. That's not biblical either. People are not reading their Bibles enough to understand what is a faith that is defendable and what do they know about it. If we're going to have a shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of Satan, we better have a faith that's true. And you've got to be able to answer this question. Why are you a Christian? And if you interject anything about it feels good, you have no faith. You may not even have saving faith for all that matter. If you might say, well, you know, my family, I come from a long line of noble Christians. Well, maybe those noble Christians of your lineage could give you the definition of faith. If evil days are coming, and if evil days are here, I find it very threatening that Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns to earth, will he find faith on the earth? Taking the shield of faith, this is very important. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith can be added to, it can be built up. It says faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how our faith grows. But listen, if we can't give an answer for what we believe, if we cannot defend what we claim to believe, then it's going to come back to get us. And we need to be diligent as students of the Bible. God will see to it. I personally believe the time has already started. God will see to it that we all be tested in our faith, to be refined as gold. You know, we sing the song, don't we love the song? Refiner's Fire. Oh, it's a beautiful song. Lord, just don't have it happen in my life. My heart's one desire is to be holy, to be pure. Amen. May that always be our desire. But when God says, okay, I love when you sing me that song and you've got your hands up with your holy hands lifted up in prayer, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to turn up the stove and I'm going to set you on it and I'm going to boil all that filth and all that junk. It's going to come to the top and I'm going to scrape it right off the top of your head and you're going to be so pure. And you're going to go, really? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Thank you for praying that prayer. And oh, you're welcome, Lord. Do we really trust Him? Do we really have faith in Him? Do we really? The days are coming, and some are going through it now, and I think we all will go through it to where God will test our faith. It's not going to be an evil time. He's preparing Himself a bride. The shield of faith that defeats the enemy, the attack. Above all, take the shield of faith. Taking it, we need to seize it with strength to be ready to enter into the battle. Listen, the Christian path is dangerous. In Psalm 16:11, the scripture says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. But He's got to show us the path of life. The Christian goes out in wars in this life against evil forces. If you think I'm kidding, sign up for a prayer meeting. Sign up to be on the prayer chain. Now, I don't mean to scare you. We're not going to be scared by this, but sign up in the prayer chain. Sign up to be involved. Sign up to do something, and you'll get a flat tire. You might get sick. You say, what's going on? Since I signed up, my life's falling apart. The Lord is just showing you what other Christians go through that serve Him. So do we give up? No. We take the shield of faith and we say, hey, you know what? I got this shield of faith right here. I got it. I'm going to use this thing. Lord, I'm going to commit my path unto you. I know that you'll show me the way of life, and I'm going to go. And God says, then let's move. And on we go. So many of you served last week at that conference. It was awesome to see you. You poured yourself out so much and so hard this last weekend at the conference, and you've said, I've never been more blessed. I can't. Oh, I love it. I'm going to sign up to do something else. That's how God works.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Slaying the Dragon and Other Scary Things, it's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series, Complete Christian Armor, is now available in an 8-CD set. Remember, our calling here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So, here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name, Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.